Ms. Reedy and Mr. Harbison. Mr. Harbison out in the hallway?
I have not seen him.
Oh, you haven't seen him? Well, somebody's running up the aisle here. Let's see.
That's him.
Okay, Mr. Harbison? In the nick of time, as they say, I just called the case. All right, Ms. Reedy, would you care to reserve any for 15 minutes for rebuttal?
3 minutes, please.
All right, well, glad to hear from you then.
May it please the court, my name is Pat O'Reagy from the law firm of Penn Stewart. I represent United Parcel Service and their insurance carrier, Liberty Mutual, in this case.
It seems to me, counsel, while you're getting your thoughts together, I'm going to ask a question. It seems to me that this case all comes down to the determination as to whether or not the commission was correct in determining that the claimant suffered a post-traumatic injury by observing a body at a place, a dead body, at a place where he customarily made deliveries. Is that fair?
Mostly. I would disagree with it being categorized as a body.
I would phrase it a little differently. Maybe you can, while you're answering Judge Alston's question, you can try and answer mine at the same time. It seems to me, as I read the record, there really isn't a dispute about whether he suffered post-traumatic stress syndrome. The issue is whether it's work-related, given the case law that's already out there.
Yes.
And so why don't you try and answer the question in that context?
The case law, well, first of all, we did not dispute, obviously, that he had PTSD, that the treatment was appropriate, that his period of disability, no dispute with that. It was all about what I call a snapshot, which is when he walked up and what he saw, what he testified to was, and he knew this woman, it was a house he went to frequently. She was lying there, motionless. The glass in the storm door was broken and she had blood on her face. He did not know if she was dead. He did not know if this was a crime. In response to one of my questions, he saw that for 5 seconds, maybe a little bit more, stepped off the porch and called 911 because he knew something was wrong and he wanted to help her. I think the problem with the full commission opinion is that, and this is an emotional issue because as we all found out that day, and I can tell you my own personally, I found out that this, it turned out to be an ongoing domestic problem, and two bodies at a house were discovered by a delivery driver. I've been representing UPS for about 17 years, and that's the first thing I thought. So then we got the case, and I think the full commission allowed the later information. Because at that point, no one knew about this crime. He had either already killed his father, I believe it was, in another location, or did that after these two women, because there was another woman in the house. No one knew that.
Let me interrupt you and ask you this question. If the sole issue is this injury work-related, and in terms of reviewing the commission's decision in that regard, clearly, I mean, I don't think there's any serious dispute. He was on his route delivering packages.
In the course of, absolutely.
And it was certainly an unexpected situation. It's not, I mean, I think we can all agree that UPS people typically don't stumble across murder victims on a regular basis. And he clearly had the traumatic effect virtually immediately. I think anyone would who's not used to dealing with this sort of thing. And so I guess from the standpoint of our standard of review, where would the commission be plainly wrong in concluding that this was a work-related injury?
I think Deputy Commissioner Roach got it right because he looked distinctly at an individual coming upon this scene. He heard no gunshots. He had saw nothing of any of the activity that had occurred before, obviously before he was there. All he saw was this, stepped off the porch and called. The police come, they find out she's dead, they find another body, the whole thing is in the newspapers and all of that. And I think the full commission...
You're not really answering my question about why isn't that work related, is my question.
It's, well, It may be work-related, but it's not compensable. There's a lot of things that happen that are work-related. If I stand...
As I read the statute, all work-related injuries are compensable if they result in necessity for medical treatment.
Well, if I'm a UPS driver and I, after loading and unload, or I'm a loader and after loading and unloading all day long, at the end of the day I have a backache. That's not compensable because there's no specific trauma. That's a gradually incurred injury.
But here we have specific trauma. You're conceding that.
I am. I'm saying it's a specific trauma, but it does not rise to the definition as Deputy Commissioner Roach indicated in his opinion. And I think, again, that the full commission added in, and it's in the right before the conclusion, Commissioner Marshall indicated that he saw a victim unmoving, didn't know she was a victim, with blood on her face, the door of a ransacked house. He didn't know the house was ransacked. And the claimant's sight of his murdered customer. He didn't know she was murdered. What if she was coming to the door, she heard the UPS truck coming, she slipped on a throw rug, hit her head on the glass, the storm glass, broke it, got her face bloody, and was lying there. He sees the same thing. He calls the police come, she has a bumped head and a few stitches.
The deputy commissioner opined I'll reverse it. He said in his conclusion, but for his conclusion based on what his interpretation of prior commission precedent, because the claimant didn't witness the crime itself,
yes,
it wasn't work-related,
yes,
essentially. Now, and the commission reversed that, obviously, and we're not, of course, bound by the commission's precedent. We're only bound by our own and the Supreme Court's. So I'm trying to understand, as a matter of law, given the clear mandate of the statute, that if you're working and you suffer an injury, and that injury requires medical attention in any way, shape, or form, the employer is required to compensate you for that. That's as simple as I can make that statute. And if you concede that there's an injury, and apparently you're conceding that he required medical attention for it, the only issue remaining is it work-related? And the nexus here is he's doing his job, and in the process of doing his job experiences this trauma. I'm at a loss to understand why it matters that, as a matter of law, that he did or didn't witness the actual murder.
Well, it matters because of the case law regarding purely psychological injuries. For a long time in workers' comp, psychological injuries were not recognized at all. If you didn't have an accompanying physical injury, it was not considered.
They were a little more enlightened now, though.
That's true. And that has brought us this body of law, which says, I think everyone states this definition, that it has to be shocking, frightening, traumatic, catastrophic, and unexpected.
Okay, and let me stop you right there if I could. And it says, in the context of the cases that you cite, and the word unexpected is very important because in the normal range of activities, we kind of expect certain things to happen. If we take that language, can we reasonably expect as a UPS worker that we're going to come on a murder scene?
No, but you don't usually get robbed, and we've had those, and we've had a lot of unusual situations. But I agree with you that it was certainly unexpected. Our position is that, again, my example of what if she had just fallen down and hit her head, sure, and she was fine. I don't think we would have the same result. I think part of the cause of his PTSD, and we see this all the time with soldiers, you know, PTSD because of not a discrete incident, but a behavior. Kids getting bullied, you know, all one school year. Things can go on.
There's a maxim of law that you take your victims as you find them, and maybe the corollary is you take your claimants as you find them. And clearly some people I'm sure would not be so traumatized by a scene like this that they would not be able to work or would have. But again, some people clearly are, and here, hearing no dispute that this individual was, this claimant was severely traumatized and required attention for his difficulty, the only remaining issue is, what's the nexus with the employment? And Judge Alston, I think, just put his finger on it, you know.
No argument.
Why not?
No argument with that. It's that, it does what he saw, does the incident itself, was it shocking, frightening, traumatic, catastrophic? Deputy Commissioner said it was not, it did not reach that standard as some of the case law that was citing, and that's why he ruled as he did. This has to be based on his viewing of that incident, period. Not that he found out later on that she was murdered, that there was another lady murdered, that we found out all the facts. He said that upset him. I mean, he testified about that when he found that out later. So is it the whole situation that occurred? We can't consider what happened afterward.
But don't we have to defer to the commission as ultimate fact finders for a lot of this? Because, I mean, in the abstract, I will, you know, if a UPS worker may be visiting an office and finds that the receptionist has had a stroke and is, you know, passed away, sitting at the desk, might not be terribly traumatic, might be unexpected, might not be especially traumatic. On the other hand, walking in on a dismembered corpse following a very gruesome murder, it might traumatize virtually anybody who isn't a medical examiner or a law enforcement professional of some sort.
Particularly since he knew the lady.
Well, but I think this incident is more like finding the receptionist with a stroke, because he didn't know what was wrong with her.
But see, that's the problem, is we decide issues of law, and we leave it to the fact finder to draw those nuances about whether or not a particular factual situation rises to the level, in this case, of trauma or unexpectedness or whatever, and we don't second guess that if there's evidence in the record that supports their conclusion.
Granted, our argument is that the evidence was not there, and that Commissioner Marshall, in fact, injected facts into his decision, talking about victim murdered, ransacked. Mr. Prince knew none of that. Knew none of that until later on.
And counsel, how far is later on?
He testified, I believe, that he waited for the police, that the police came and talked to him, and they may have told him about the other victim, I think, and may have, I don't know if he was
I guess
told,
my point,
I don't know if he was told she was dead. I honestly don't recall.
I guess my point is that, based on the facts, it was not a very lengthy time period that passed.
It may have been, because my recollection is the facts of this case did not come out for it wasn't immediate, because they had
the detailed facts.
Yeah.
But the basic facts came out while he was on the scene, after the police arrived.
I'm not sure what he was informed of about that.
Okay. My point is, where do you draw the line in terms of what he knew and how quickly he knew it? Because, for example, you know, he's on his route, he sees the body, he calls 911, he doesn't go anywhere, he calls 911, they get there, they go in, they come out, and then during their questioning of him a bit, he finds out more information. Wouldn't it be reasonable for a fact finder to include that initial information that he found out as part of what is creating the PTSD?
It might be, but it wasn't. That they never took that position. We've always just concentrated on this incident, on what he saw on the porch.
Okay, he said that I described the horror as, quote, a really gruesome scene. Specifically, he observed blood on Miss Fawcett's face and the bottom part of her mouth. He further stated that when he looked at Miss Fawcett's face, he could tell she had shrapnel and bullet wounds in her face, and her face was pretty much gone and it was all bloody. He testified that he cried at the scene pretty much right after he saw Mrs. Fawcett, and that the longer he was there, the more upset he became, and that he threw up while he was waiting for 911 to respond. We don't even have to talk about whether or not there was a murder determination. This is what's happening contemporaneously with him observing the body.
He did say that. He also said some other things, that he did not know what had happened to her, and he did not know if she was dead. So there was a little bit of confusion.
But based on those facts, does that even matter?
I think it does.
I guess you're saying the commission didn't
apply the accepted definition.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Harbison?
Morning. Greg Harbison here for the appellee. It is our position that the full commission got this right. Under the Supreme Court case of Burlington Mills versus Haygood, which pretty much set forth the criteria for a psychological injury arising from a non-physical event. And I have no disagreement with a summary of the standard here, that the event giving rise to, in our case, PTSD must be sudden, shocking, causing fear, catastrophic, and being unexpected. And I believe the evidence is clear that Mr. Prince met all that criteria. He showed up at Ms. Fassett's home, a place where he had been. I think he testified 100 times. She was a frequent customer of UPS. And it was in January, so at 5:30 when he went there, it was dark. And when he arrived, he came upon the scene, and he testified that when he came upon the scene, he saw her body there. And through both the recorded statement testimony that, Judge, you referred to, and the transcript of the hearing, he concluded that, you know, she had been shot in the face. And his inferences that he drew wound up being correct. He immediately had feelings of sadness and sickness. He vomited there at the scene, and he had to wait until the police got there. He talked to the police, he talked to UPS, and ongoing sort of additional evidence of the problems he faced are fully supported by the medical evidence. He couldn't work the rest of that day. He got medical treatment the very next day. He was diagnosed with situational anxiety, and then he started treating with a psychiatrist and a counselor.
Let me ask you this, counsel.
Yes, sir.
I think the best case that your opponent colleague can argue is the Larkin case. And in the Larkin case, there was a determination therein, and I'm summarizing generally, is that the facts did not support the relief that was sought by the claimant. In other words, there was a factual determination made by the commission saying that the claimant did not essentially make its case.
Right.
If we had a situation here where it was reversed, in other words, there had been a factual determination here that you had not made your case factually, would we be stuck with that determination?
I think so. I mean, this is a very fact-based situation. You've got to meet this criteria, I think, objectively and subjectively. I mean, if you change these facts one way or the other, I mean, for example, if he is a police officer, if he is a first responder, if he's used to these sorts of things, I think the case changes dramatically.
So it would be your view that the standard of review dictates the result in this case?
Yeah, well, the standard of review, I think the factual findings that the commission made, I think, are binding. And I think that's what's going to establish, you know, I would assume that's what's going to establish this court's conclusions here.
Right, I guess once you get past the issue of whether PTSD is compensable as a matter of law, then it becomes whether the commission, you know, factually concludes it's work-related and of such a degree that medical attention is required, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're right, Art. Once we get to the point of addressing whether Mr. Prince's situation, the scene that he came upon, meets the criteria, what we commonly call the sudden shock or fright criteria, then I think that should be binding upon this court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Reed, you have, I think, a couple of minutes left.
I'll wait then.
Oh, okay. All right, then we'll come down to Greek Council and take up Emmanuel Artis versus the Commonwealth.